If I can find my pen, then we'll take prayer requests. Who stole it? Oh, I got another one. Stacy stole it. It's okay. It's okay. I think I stole one of Stacy's pens one time, too. I think it was an expensive pen that I stole from you one time. Anyways, prayer requests. Does anybody have any prayer requests today? Yeah. Prayer for Red? Yeah, Red's suffering some various health issues, right? Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. So it's just something that you just have to monitor. Okay. No, I'm not going to go there. Yes, Linda. Our snowbirds, yes, thank you. Snowbirds and world travelers. So we do have several people who winter in the south. And Brittany has just left on a 2.5 week venture, 2 week venture to Argentina. So we'll pray for those people who are traveling too. Linda, do. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. Bert. For your daughter.
Yes. For patience, she's helping her husband after his fall. And the man is day and night in an easy chair. He can't be in bed. And she's catering to him, and it's taking its toll.
So she doesn't have your patience then? So, Bert asked for prayer for patience. For I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but Bert's son-in-law had a fall earlier where he wrecked his knee pretty badly, to the point of surgery and pins and whatnot. And so he's got a long recovery, and apparently it's taking its toll on the household. So we'll pray for patience for Tammy. How's about healing for him too, maybe? Okay, all right. Yes, Pete.
Prayer for the Stemper family.
Yeah.
Pastor John was a former pastor here a number of years ago, and his wife passed away this week. And the funeral was yesterday. She's a very proud woman, and more of a celebration tonight.
Right. What was her name again?
Myra.
Thank you. Trev. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so Trevor is asking for prayer for the Christian school. They're having a membership meeting tomorrow. There's apparently some incurred debts, so they're praying for that to be resolved, and also for the for Tuesday's council meeting where we're talking about the future of our church. Yes, Dick. Yeah, for Sid. I heard from Sid early this past week. He's thanked me for tuning in with him, and he says that he's continuing to mend. So, like, it's a process. He's getting back into the swing of things a little bit, doing a little bit here and there. And so we're thankful for his continued healing. Nobody else? Why don't we come to God in a time of prayer? Let's pray. As we woke up this morning, Lord, and looked out, we saw the snow falling again. And we're reminded, God, that you call all things into being. And despite what we say or what we may think about the snow, whether we really love it or whether we really don't love it, or whether we're indifferent to it, when we see the flakes fall, Lord, we know that it comes from you. And it's another indicator of your beauty in nature. And the call of this time of year, Lord, in this part of the world, is that we have snow. And we're thankful for that. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us as we tend to our needs as we move through this time of year. And it's not always easy, Father, because we are inflicted with health issues and struggles. And as was brought up earlier, sometimes we get sick and the sickness seems to spread, and influenza and the dreaded coronavirus that we are hearing so much about in the news, and just general colds and aches and pains and sniffles. And we feel, Lord, like there's no end to it sometimes. And so we pray for health, just general health, Lord, where we can feel healthy enough to go about through our days, Lord, healthy enough to do what we need to do in a day. We pray, God, that you'll be with us as we move from day to day, that we would be healthy, Lord, and that you would bless us with that. We're thankful that you're with Sid, that you're allowing him to recover, to be on the mend, to get back into some of his duties and tasks as well. We pray that as slowly as it may seem for him, Lord, that you'll continue to watch over him and bless him and let him feel that the time is slipping by fast, quickly, Lord. We also pray that for Tammy, as her husband is healing, Lord, and as things take their toll too, and as it can cause a lot of tension in a household, Lord, when somebody is ill. And we pray for patience in the household of Bert and Ida's daughter, Lord. We pray for that. And Lord, we are also so thankful to hear good news that Sam Van Harteveld is really okay. God, he had this little issue with his heart, Lord, but it turns out that it's not that serious. And some monitoring, Lord, and some keeping an eye on things, Lord, will help that out a lot. We're thankful for these times, Lord, also when we know that things are quite a struggle sometimes, and that we are fragile. And that we need to rely on you. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with Sam and Mandy and Eric and the family, Lord, as they move through this time. And that you'll continue to bless them in all of their activities, God. Lord, we're thankful for the ability to take vacations elsewhere. And many of us seem to pick up for a week and take off and go and travel, or a week or two, or three, and travel, Lord, and then we come back and then we carry on with life. And others of us, we pick up for months at a time and we go away. And we pray, Lord, that no matter which situation we're in, God, that you would be in it. That you would provide protection when we're away. Again, back to the health issues, Lord. Give us a healthy time away. But that you would also protect our our snowbirds, Lord, and those who are going on vacation so that they can return here to be a part of our community again when their time of vacation is over. Lord, it's a privilege to go away, but it's a privilege to come back to. And we pray for their safe return as well. Lord, we were reminded this week of the fragility of life. As Myris Van Stemfort has passed away and the arrangements have been all fulfilled, Lord, and now John is on his own. Thankful, Lord, that you have been with them, Lord, and they are fondly remembered here as John was a pastor here. And we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to be in that situation too. And that you will provide your peace there as well. And God, we support a Christian school here in our church. And they are faced with some debt. And they're having a membership meeting tomorrow to talk about that. And there's a lot going on, God. In fact, we send students to that school. And we pray, Lord, that that the debt may be eliminated, that the school may come to its come to that black line, Lord, that zero line, and maybe even thrive with the surplus. Lord, bless Huron Christian School in Clinton and allow it, Lord, to do what no other school can, Lord, or what few other schools can, to bring your name into the minds of our children at a very young age, Lord, and allow them to see who you are, to see who you are, even at their young age. Bless that school and its membership, and its staff, and its children, God. Lord, in a couple of days here, our council is going to meet again. We're going to talk about visioning. And that's a abstract type of word, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we will be united as a council, Lord, that we would be united as a body, Lord, that wants to direct, follow your lead, Lord, in directing this church into a different place. Maybe we ask for wisdom, for guidance. We ask for your blessing in our meeting on Tuesday, and then again on Wednesday, as we have a regular council meeting. And Lord, that it all may go well and according to what you want for our church and for our activities in your community. Lord, we love this church and we pray that you'll be with her and all the members that are within her as well. Father, we're thankful for the gifts that we've just taken up, for the gifts of this church, Lord, and for the gifts that are taken up for race relations. And we ask, God, that you would be with us as we become more sensitive to the issues revolving around race. Lord, that you would allow our church, that agency race relations within the CRC, to address issues, but also to celebrate the differences and the unity that we have as being all children of God. And Lord, we're about to open your word. And we pray for the reading thereof and the reflection thereof as well. May you be in the message, Lord, so that we would know who you are today too. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and that is found in your pew Bibles on page 746. This is the word of the Lord. witnesses summoned against Israel. Hear this word, people of Israel. The word of the Lord has spoken against you, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your sins. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Does a lion roar in a thicket when it has no prey? Does it growl in its den when it has caught nothing? Does a bird swoop down to a trap on the ground when no bait is there? Does a trap spring up from the ground if it has not caught anything? When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Proclaim to the fortress of Ashdod and the fortresses of Egypt. Assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria. See the great unrest within her and the oppression among her people. They do not know how to do it right, declares the Lord, who store up in their fortresses what they have plundered and looted.
Thanks, Pete. I have a little bit of a history question, quiz for you today. Don't worry, it's not too hard, and you're not going to be marked on it. But I need you to do something. Whenever you know the answer, I would like you to raise your hand. And I know that you're in church and all, but you're allowed to raise your hand. So, Mandy, can we start this? I would like for you to know who is that on your screen right now. Who is that? You know JFK, right? Not too many people are putting up their hands. All right, you know JFK. Okay. Who was John F. Kennedy? President of the United States. He died a long while ago. How did he die? He was assassinated. Yes, he was shot. That's right. Next slide, Mandy, please. Who is this? Yes, okay. Yes, we'll do this the right way. Everybody know who this is? Okay, a few less. Neil Armstrong. Yes, Neil Armstrong. So Neil Armstrong is obviously an astronaut. What's his claim to fame? First man on the moon. Right, first man on the moon. Okay, Mandy, the next slide, please. Do we know who this person is? Okay, a few more. Awesome. Terry Fox. How long ago did Terry Fox die? 81. So we'll be doing the Terry Fox runs. How do we know Terry Fox? He ran across Canada. Sorry? Media. There's a lot. Terry Fox's name comes up every year, right? Still, because of the Terry Fox run. So we know something about Terry Fox. Thank you. One last one. Mandy, please. Twin Towers 9/11. Everybody pretty much knows what's going on here. And this is almost 19 years old. So there are kids growing up through high school right now that weren't around when this happened. And throughout our history, and if you were here, and what I tried to see, what it really didn't work out too well because of my failed experiment, was that in certain cases, people knew a lot about the more recent events, and not so much, more people knew about the recent events, and not so much about the older events. Now, JFK died in 63. That was before I was born. Okay? I was born in 66. So he died before I was born, yet I knew about John F. Kennedy because my father talked about him to me. We had discussions about John F. Kennedy. When Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, I was 3 years old. So I don't remember that happening. But from what I'm told, everybody knew where they were when both JFK and the moonshot happened, with the landing on the moon. People stopped what they were doing so that they could see these events on television. And everybody knew where they were. Same with the picture that's depicted right there as well. I remember this picture very well. It was a Tuesday morning. I remember that. It's not only the date, 9/11, I remember that day like yesterday. And yet, as time slips on, we begin not to focus on that. It starts to slip away from our memory. Thank you, Mandy. Today we're talking about Amos. We're in our second message on Amos today. And we know that God is upset with the nation of Israel. And what we learned last time was that God was upset with the northern nation of Israel, which he is still, by the way. Amos is preaching in the northern nation, the 10 tribes of Israel. Not the 2 tribes of Judah where he was from. He is preaching to the 10 tribes in Samaria, the capital city of Israel, the northern kingdom. But in today's text, Amos redirects his focus to all of God's children. So as Pete read for you this morning, in the first verses of chapter 3, he says, "Hear this word, people of Israel, the word of the Lord is spoken against you, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt." The whole family, so Judah included. He says, "You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth." God's talking. "Of all the families, only you have I picked. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins." Sounds horrible, doesn't it? It sounds horrible. How can God say this? "I picked you, family, but now I'm going to punish you. I picked you, children. Out of all the families of the earth, I picked you. But now you're going to receive your punishment." It's one of those verses you say, "Well, you know, this irks me the wrong way. This doesn't quite, it feels wrong." And this is one of those passages where people who are opposed to or who are looking at the God of the Old Testament as a God who is always a vengeful God, always looking out for to harm his people, to punish his people. This is one of the verses that they would pick up. Indeed, they would. God is going to punish his people. But it's not for lack of warning. And it's not for lack of want for them to turn around. God wants to turn his people around. But the time will come. They were warned that the time would come when it would be enough for God, and they just wouldn't do this anymore. God wouldn't have it anymore. And this is that time. Amos is preaching, I don't know if you caught it or not, but Amos is preaching that the time has already come and gone for the warning. The time for punishment is on the way. The people of Israel were warned time and time again. They were warned. They were given lots of ample opportunity to turn away from their sin and to turn back to God. But that time is done now. That time is over. and the punishment will come, says Amos. It's a difficult pill for us to swallow, but it's one that must be swallowed because God is a just God. The difficulty we have with it is that we may not understand the total ramifications behind it, because God has already warned them, because God has already given them ample opportunity. As we learned last time, the nation of Israel has given themselves over to different people, to surrounding nations, where they are being influenced by everyone that surrounds them. They are being influenced by the people of Tyre and the people of Damascus and the people of Gaza. And every influence, everything goes with the nation of Israel. And somehow, some way, they've forgotten their God. God keeps being pushed into the background, into the way away from them, into the corner, in favor of every other thing that just sort of comes up, the God of the day, whatever that happens to be. It could be anything, and it is everything. But primarily, it is the Baals, the God of Baal, the God Baal, who God has a problem with. And even, as I mentioned last time too, they set up a temple in the capital city of Israel, in Samaria, in the northern kingdom, to the Baals. And God is being stuffed in a corner somewhere. They're forgetting about their God. And every time that God sent prophets ahead, every time that God sent prophets or sent other people, other holy people to warn them and to send them back, God said, they shut their ears, they shut them down, they turned them away and said, no, we're not doing that. We don't want to hear about it anymore. They're like a young kid that's got their hands over their ears and they're screaming at the top of their lungs because they don't want to hear about Almighty God anymore. They've forgotten. And because they have forgotten, the punishment will ensue. It's not pretty, but that's the way it is. Now, we can ask ourselves, because I mentioned before too that Amos could be preaching to us too. And we could say, well, is Amos preaching to us now because the time has already come and gone? I don't think so. I don't think that we are in this place where we are beyond hope, where God is saying, now the punishment will come. But I am saying that we are being warned because we are forgetting our God in our country, in our nation, in the West. We are forgetting our God. God is so gracious and God is so kind and loving. God, we are the chosen ones that are to bring He's chosen to bring His peace to the nations. We are the ones who need to, who are standing up for our Lord, and who continue to need to stand up for our Lord. Yet it's a difficult situation that we are in, we can warn people. We can say, you know what? You really need to turn back to God. God wants everybody to turn back from him. But everybody a lot of people in our day and age, they don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. They're zoned out. They don't want it. And maybe you know of some of those people. And maybe they're very close to you. And we've got good news to tell. We've got good news. We don't want to forget. You and me, as a community, we come together and we have just remembered in a very real way through the eating of the bread, the drinking of the juice, we've shared a meal together. We've sat down and communed together. That's why this is called communion. We come together to eat this meal and be as one people. This is an act that is not individual. This is an act that is for all of us. As we have shared this now, we share the good news of Christ. You and I, all of us together. And we have a story to tell. All of us, all Christians in all the world. We join those people. We join together. And we proclaim the word to the world. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in our world, in our culture. But at the same time, the world is turning away. And the world does not want to hear it. The world doesn't want to hear about God, Jesus, anymore. They are going the way of Israel. Where Israel, the influences that came into Israel could be the very same influences that are coming into our place and into our nation, into our world. And God has set a time already. What that time is, we don't know. But God has set a time that Jesus is going to return. And when Jesus returns, then all things will be made right for those who believe in Jesus Christ. God is longing for us to call back people, to turn them back. And as I mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 3, we see that God doesn't want anybody to turn away. God is very patient with us. He doesn't want us to turn away. Rather, he just wants us to come back to him. He wants all people to come back to him. The difficulty with that is that when you approach somebody and you start talking about your faith and they shut you down because they don't want to hear about it. And then especially if it's somebody that you're related to. Like a son or a daughter or a father or a mother or a cousin or somebody that you really care about. But don't stop that. Don't stop talking to them. Keep on talking. But understand that God is working in their hearts and in their lives too. We share the good news of God. We don't want to forget that. We want to hold on to that with every stitch of our being. And so as we, even with our church now, we're working on this thought of where our church is going to go, what we're going to do, what we're going to be about, how we are going to, what kind of voice we are going to be in a world that is changing like it is. And we need God's hand of mercy in that. And again, we ask that you pray about that in your prayers at home, that we figure this thing out. And that, so that we can be effective in the world that God gave us in the time, in this time, when people are covering their ears, wanting to forget about our God. We want to drive the importance, yes, but the excitement too that goes along with it. Because there is such, it's good news that we live in. It's the good news that we have to share. And it's a different type of world in which we live, but we want to share that. That there is grace. That being together as a church is good. And is healthy in so many respects. That being a part of a body of believers is by far the better way to be. How that works, we don't know. How this is all going to come about is still has to be decided yet, and will be decided by our congregation. But pray for us as we discern. Pray for us that we as a people would not forget God. Pray that as Jesus Christ was himself, as he himself proclaimed the good news by saying, you're not going to forget about me when you partake of the Holy Supper. Each time you partake of it, you proclaim my death until I come back. That's what Jesus said. And that's what we rely on today. That as we have shared, we have just proclaimed that. And as we have shared, we proclaim that Jesus Christ will also return. This is our news that we need to share. This is the gift that we need to give to others. May we indeed give that to others. In grace, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the gift and the opportunity to give to you again. We give you ourselves, Lord. We give you ourselves. As your servants, your willing servants, Lord, to do your will. We pray, Lord, that as we may struggle with that thought, that you would cause it to be a simple, Lord, as talking to a neighbor about their day, or talking to our children about their lives, or talking to a spouse or a parent or a grandparent even about their daily walk with you. Help us to be your hands and feet as we move through our lives here. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We'll rise and we'll sing Jesus, All for Jesus. Thank you.
to be.
The service, we serve refreshments downstairs. Please join us. People of God, go forth in the name of the Lord. This is God's charge, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of you. And all God's people say, Amen.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light? Yet conceals it to bring